And that is our signal. It's 10:10 Eastern on Monday, April the 30th. We're so excited to have you joining us for episode 36. So thank you for dialing in this morning. And Heather, I think you're my expert today, are you not?
I am. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, let me toss out the first question. This one is coming from Arkansas. And Thomas, who is listening in on a webinar that you did, talks about the diagnosis of disability leading to malaise. And he says, would age-related physical disability be more appropriate, and should we query the physician?
Okay, so yeah, the term disability in ICD-10 does take you to the code for malaise. But as a coder, we can't make the assumption that the disability is age-related unless the physician documents that it is. So in this case, if you were to see documentation that you felt supported that age-related disability, but the diagnosis was not made clear, a query might be appropriate to get a more definitive diagnosis that would then provide a clearer picture of the patient's overall severity of illness.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always helpful to get the nuance behind those questions, is it not? Now I'm going to move from Arkansas over to Florida, and of course I'm going to say thank you, Thomas, for sending in that question. And this question comes from Tabitha. She says, we have a question regarding the diagnosis code of Z5189. We've received a denial from the payer, so in this case it's Aetna, requesting that Z5189 be moved to the principal, and this changes my DRG in a particular case. Is this ever appropriate? We do place that diagnosis code on the account, but never as a principal. Can you offer me an opinion? The patient was in impairment group 01.4, and the etiologic was I-60.12.
Right. In this case, based on the information that you provided and on the ICD-10 guidelines, I would not place Z51.89 as a principal. The ICD-10 guidelines indicate that when the purpose for the admission or encounter is rehabilitation, you sequence first the code for the condition for which the service is being performed. So, for example, for an admission for rehab for right-sided dominant hemiplegia following a cerebral vascular infarction, you would report the code I-69.351 for that hemiplegia as the first listed diagnosis or principal diagnosis. So in this case, your principal is going to be the stroke sequela that's causing the need for rehab. Your IGC is 1.4, which is stroke with no paresis. So while we wouldn't have that hemiplegia, we might have a patient with ataxia, aphasia, or cognitive deficits. Now, having said that, the code Z51.89 is used to report an encounter for other specified aftercare, and the ICD-10 guidelines do indicate that on occasion, aftercare codes may be appropriate to use as the principal diagnosis when or if the condition for which the rehab services are needed is no longer present.
Ah, thank you. That's important. Well, now I want to move over to South Carolina, where I have a question from Carrie. She says, I'm looking for any kind of, or Carrie says, I'm not sure if this is a man or a lady. Sorry for saying that. I'm looking for any kind of guidance regarding split shared visits with Georgia Medicaid. The provider manual states that if services are provided by PA or NP, they must be billed under their NPI number. I previously saw an organization have to refund a good deal of money because they submitted split shared visits to Georgia Medicaid. The manual makes no mention of split shared visits, and contact with Georgia Medicaid resulted in them instructing me to review the manual for my provider type. I would like to keep my client compliant, but I'm really not sure what the correct answer to this is.
Okay. We did have to do some research on this one. In the 2018 Georgia Medicaid Physician Billing Manual, Section 903.3, auxiliary personnel, it stated that the division has no provision for direct enrollment or payment to auxiliary personnel employed by the physician, such as nurses, non-physician, anesthetists, unlicensed surgical assistants, or other aides. The physician assistant services are reimbursable only under the criteria set forth in subsection 601.10 of the manual. Certified pediatric, OBGYN, and family nurse practitioners and CRNAs are eligible for Georgia Medicaid enrollment. Licensed physical, occupational, and speech pathology therapists are eligible for enrollment to provide services to members less than 21 years of age. Services provided by practitioners eligible for enrollment cannot be billed by the physician. Physicians can be reimbursed for services provided by physician extenders, except for their enrolled physician's assistants. Now, it goes on to say that when the physician employs auxiliary personnel to assist in rendering services to patients and bills, the charges as part of the physician's charge for the service. The division may reimburse the physician for such services if the following criteria are met. First, the services are rendered in a manner consistent with the requirement of Section 601.1 of that manual. Two, that the services provided are incident to services performed under the direct supervision of the physician as an adjunct to the physician's personal services. Three, that the services are kinds that are commonly rendered in that particular medical setting. And finally, fourth, that the services are not traditionally reserved to physicians. First, services traditionally reserved to physicians are include but are not limited to hospital, office, home, or nursing home visits, prescribing of medications, psychotherapy, and surgery.
So thank you. I hope that clears that up for you, Carrie. And if it doesn't, then just send us a follow-up question on that. And then I've got one more. I think we have time for one more. Let's go on over to Texas, where Maria is listening in, and I think she's in a hospital. Somehow I got that from this question. She's asking how to code fracture of the superior pubis.
Okay. So for fractures, there are some important details that we need to know to accurately code that injury. First, what is the cause and if it's associated to any other condition? For example, is it associated to an osteoporosis? Next, we need to know the location. So in this case, you indicated a fracture of the superior pubis, and this information does not clarify the cause. The code options for traumatic fractures of the pubis are an unspecified fracture, left, right, or unspecified site, or unspecified fracture of the superior rim of the left, right, or unspecified pubis, or other specified fractures of the left, right, or unspecified pubis. Now, if this is the only information we provided, then it's likely that there's other information that was what we want that was not stated. And that information would have given us a more specific location or code. It's likely the physician is speaking about the superior rim when he or she indicates a superior pubic fracture, but without clarification, we can't actually determine that. So in addition, without further clarification, we don't really know if it's a traumatic fracture, but we would presume it was closed and displaced if it was not stated otherwise. With that said, the most specific code that we could select in this case is an unspecified fracture of the unspecified side, and that would be code S32.509, and then we would need to append the appropriate seventh character, which you could be A for an initial encounter for a closed fracture, B for an open fracture, D for a subsequent encounter with routine healing, G for delayed healing, K for a subsequent encounter for non-union, or S for sequela. Now, if the fracture was due to another illness, such as osteoporosis, it would definitely be reported differently. So we need all of those details to accurately report those fractures. It's important to get.
Absolutely, and we knew when we got ICD-10 there was going to need more detail, right?
Yeah, that's right. We need a lot of detail with ICD-10.
So, and if you have additional detail when you send in your CALCI with the code or question, be sure and put the important details as far as you know. Sometimes we're able to reach out to you and ask if there are additional details. Sometimes it doesn't work like that. But anyway, so thank you all for sending these questions in. Now, I have written down all these names because all four of these questions were non-anonymous. And so they're on my desk here, and I'm stirring them up. And let's find out who's going to be the winner of the official Coffee with a Coder mug for today. So today's winner, drum roll please, is Thomas in Arkansas. So congratulations, Thomas. I'll be reaching out to you and find out where to send your mug. I'd also just invite everyone to join us for the next episode, which will be May 14th, episode 37. And you can look back on the website this afternoon, and you should be able to replay this and hear episode 36 again. So thank you all for joining us for Coffee with the Coder today.